when you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the best man beater of the trio?
That's a great question. That's a tough one. I mean,
now back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know where to start.
Yeah, baby! It's a celebration.
Our listeners don't know this. You don't have the Comcast business text line in front of you.
I don't, no.
I do.
Yeah, I'm allergic to it.
If you could see what this looks like, you would cry. You would cry. I have never seen more texts come in about one subject. Can I read some of these to you?
Please.
510, Cosell versus Dibley, championship bout. 510, right on the head, Dibs. 510, yay, Dibs. 831, Dibs with the win. 415, yes, Dibberzilla. 530, it's a redemption sensation. I hate when people do it with
it's
words.
It's a good effort.
It's good. Yeah. Gosh.
It was a reclamation sensation.
Thank you. That's how you do it, but we appreciate your text. 925, Dibs handled him today. Awesome. Love it. 510, I'm so proud of you, Uncle D. Another 510, attaboy, Dibs. Another 510, congrats, Dibs. That was effing unbelievable. What champions are made of right there.
Last week took an L, but today I bounced back.
One more, 510, Cosell must be doing more than watching film. What a master ego-stroking job. Was it Memorex or was it Patron? X, go Dibs.
Patron. Shout out Patron. Silver. Patron Silver.
Whatever you want. It's all the same. You get drunk.
I'm not surprised at that outpouring because on my own phone, I got three texts, including one from my knee surgeon.
Your knee surgeon?
Dr. Krinsky. Shout out Mickey, former Warrior doctor.
Uh-huh.
He just texted me with an attaboy. So
okay.
A lot of people were... Or I think people tuning in to watch me go up in flames again, but it's an upset.
We just got two more came in that are fun. 650, does Dibs have a 510 phone number? Were you sending those texts?
No, I'm 415.
Okay.
I have the same number that I had when I lived in the city in 99.
And then a different 510, which is active, said, let me read this, go to hell, Dibs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Must be low.
All right. I remember when the Raiders.
Go to hell, Dibs.
I remember when the Raiders upset the Ravens earlier this year. That was one of my survivor pools that went.
Oh man!
Remember the Raiders in the fourth quarter, down by 10, come back. They beat the Baltimore Ravens. Remember that?
Yeah.
This was a bigger upset than that.
Man, I feel like Joe Willie Namath in Super Bowl III. Which was a big upset.
You know what we should do, because there are people listening that are like, "What the hell is this all about?" So Greg Cosell, executive producer of NFL Films, he comes on with us every Wednesday. I know today's not Wednesday. We were doing the Madden event yesterday, so we pushed it to Thursday. 8 days ago, Greg Cosell came on our show, and I don't know, it organically just went a certain way. You started firing questions, and he didn't like them. And so he started sunning you. Like, at times, he wouldn't even let you finish. For those of you who didn't hear it and therefore don't have the background, the guys here at the station put together a little thingamabob to summarize what happened just 8 days ago.
You know, it was a blitz on that play, and Campbell came in.
They blitzed on third and fourth down.
They did.
On both those plays, yeah. They were aggressive with pressure.
Zone read, and you see Bosa crash immediately toward Connor, and Murray pulls it, and he's got, you know, after 5 yards, he's already pointing to the heavens because he's virtually untouched.
Well, it's not zone read. It's not a zone read. It's a quarterback sweep.
Tomorrow they're going to Seattle to take on a Mike McDonald team, and he was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore last year who gave the Niners all kinds of fits on
Christmas
night.
Actually, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That game, they marched up and down the field in the first half. They went through that defense without a problem at all.
Now, five picks would tell me that, they did something right, at least, to, be able to get five picks from the 49ers.
I think it was three, was it not?
It was four off Brock, and then Sammy D came in and threw a fifth.
We don't care about that. Brock Purdy has dropped back 185 times this year and has had three tipped balls. So it's not really a conversation.
It's about 2%, Greg, based on my rudimentary
math. So I don't really think that's a conversation.
Yeah, nor do I. I just was thinking about Baltimore last year and the fact that I think they had two tip ball interceptions, one at the line, one which was further down the field.
Yeah, those are fluky plays.
Oh, man.
That's what it sounded like last week.
Oh, God.
And so there was a lot of nervousness in the room.
You think?
For you.
For sure.
Yeah, you did the darn thing.
Yeah.
Well, you did it.
And there was one early in the interview today where he jumped me again, but it wasn't.
He jumped the route. It was press man.
He jumped the route, but it was just a pass breakup. It wasn't a pick or a pick six. Last week was, I mean, you heard all five of those where
we don't care about that.
No, this week was.
It was a fluke.
It was a bounce back. Yeah, we don't care about that. It was a fluke. Yeah. Yeah, Greg, they blitzed. They also blitzed on third down.
They
did, Greg.
I thought it would go better. I didn't think that the two of you were going to be dating by the end of it, but that's what it sounded like this time.
Nor did I.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
all right.
It's tough.
Good for you.
I'm happy.
GFY.
Thank you. GFY.
Good for you.
That's what it stands
for. You.
Last week, GFY stood for something totally different. But yeah, you know, we'll see come Wednesday when I watch the game a second time and I come in with notes and he shoots me down again. You just never know what happens.
No. And maybe it's maybe it's just a Thursday thing. Maybe he's like me and he thinks Thursday's the best day of the week.
Could be.
And he's in a way better mood. We'll find out next week. We're going to talk to him on Wednesday.
Best day of the week.
And if he hates you again next Wednesday, then you can go to Matt and see if we can move Greg Cosell to Thursdays.
Yep.
And or you could be a big boy and see if you can do this on a Wednesday. I don't know.
I can handle it.
We'll find it. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know if you can.
Coming up in 6 days.
You and Cosell on a Wednesday is like the Niners and the Chiefs. Got to do it before I tell you can
like
do it. Let's see if you can do it.
The first handful of Wednesdays went better than last Wednesday.
They were better.
Yeah.
Not as good as today.
No, today was great. And, you know, I got that's a good question.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Which, and then he paused and had to stew on it.
You want
to
hear it again?
Hear it again.
When you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the best man beater of the trio?
That's a great question. That's a tough one. I mean,
he's making noises. Like, that's a great question. And then he goes into his Kyle Shanahan. He's breathing hard.
Right.
He didn't know what to do. You got him.
That's a tough one.
You got him.
And again,
backed him into a corner and held his feet to the fire.
I'm gonna thank my parents for all their support growing up, and I do want to give you a little bit of a thank you as well, because one thing we've talked about off air as much as on air is how to ask a question, and that question was pretty short and pretty direct.
Yeah, just say it.
Just ask,
especially with Greg.
For all you amateur podcasters out there, just ask the damn question.
Well, what did we learn last week? Greg does not want your 25-second question. He will start talking at 12 seconds, and if you're not done, you're done. That's the way it goes.
And he got me with one of those today.
Dog.
Yeah, I should have.
That's the way it goes.
Yep.
All right. So
anyway,
check this out. Check this out. Is this a coach doing what coaches do, which is they sit in front of the media and you ask them about the opponent, and then they sit there and go, well, my gosh, I don't even know how the hell we're going to win this game because they've got all the good players, and every player at every position is just amazing, and I don't even know how the hell we're going to score a point or move the ball or do anything this week. And when they have the ball, my gosh, I have no idea how we're going to stop them. They'll probably get a first down on every play. And it's especially funny when you hear teams, like you'll be going to play Carolina, and they'll be like, look, they're dangerous. They got a good running back, got a good receiver, got a good right? Coaches do that. Or are they being sincere? So we heard, and now this was on the sideline, not in front of the media. Super Bowl last year, Brock Purdy started hot, and Spagnuolo was playing zone, and he was heard going to the other members of the staff, and we're like, we got to shake this up. He's picking us apart. He's absolutely killing our zone. And so they made some adjustments, and it got better. Brock still played okay in the game, but it got better. And obviously we know how the whole thing ended. So now Spagnuolo's had an entire game against Brock, and he's had many more games this year to start looking at film and getting ready for this one. And I want to play for you a couple of things that Spagnuolo said today about Brock Purdy. First of all, about how he handles the blitz.
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to go in the game and not blitz at all because we're fearful of it. But I think we do have to respect the fact that he knows exactly what to do with the football. To me, the most impressive thing is even if it wasn't getting it out quick on a blitz, he has a unique way of getting away from it. I just showed a play this morning where, I forget what team it was, but they brought quite a few people. He didn't blink. He didn't panic at all. And boom, and he was out of there. And I think he might have gained 2 yards or got the ball away. But that's a pretty good weapon for them to have to negate, you know, that part of our defense.
Okay, so we're going to blitz, but we better be ready for the fact that he's really good against it. Okay?
Yep.
So that's one. But check this out. This is a more general answer of Steve Spagnuolo talking about Brock Purdy. Before we play that, check this out, okay? Everybody listen close now. Steve Spagnuolo, possibly the most respected defensive coordinator in the game, certainly among a handful, and the man who was in charge of slowing down the 49er offense in the Super Bowl last year. This is what he said when asked, just in general, about Brock Purdy.
I think the quarterback's really good against zone and finding those pockets and spaces, and I think the receivers adjust routes to do that. That makes it really challenging in zone. Now, one of the things you got to remember is we had, you know, last year was a little different. LJ was here, and Trent, we had him in a different spot, and so we'll see if we can do the same things. But I just think their system is built that they really can expose zone coverage, and yet I think they got enough skill that if you don't have the right man people covering their men, that can be challenging too. I mean, it's going to start up front and stop in the run, and hopefully we can get the quarterback not to be in timing like he is, because I can't find a weakness in this quarterback. I every time I put the film on, I'm more and more impressed. It's funny, I was watching, you guys will have a better idea of the year. When did we go out there and play in a regular season game? Yeah, and it was at the end of the game, and I think they had taken Garoppolo out, and it was Brock Purdy, and I had forgotten that. But he ran the two-minute drill and kind of got him down there, and then I think we picked it off at the end. But he looked pretty good then, not like he is now, but I'm really impressed with the quarterback.
I can't find a weakness in the guy. The more film I look at, the more impressed I am, from Steve Spagnuolo.
Yep.
Coach speak or real?
It's real. It's real, and all you have to do is watch the games as you and I have, and any fan who is here and watching the games every game once or twice, whatever you do, you can see it on film. And if you're one of these people from outside the market who's not a coach and you don't watch it as closely as Steve Spagnuolo does, who puts on the film and he watches it, and think about last year and 2 weeks in a run-up to the Super Bowl, he probably has seen every snap that Brock Purdy's ever taken just because you're getting ready for a Super Bowl, and that's what you do. So he's watched Brock Purdy very closely, and what he's talking about there is he's really good against the zone. He's going to pick you apart against the zone, and if you play man against him, their receivers are good enough to win against man, and he's really good at delivering the football there too. So they're going to have their work really cut out for him.
I was just thinking about this because we know the Brock Purdy conversation. It has evolved. It has moved. And George Kittle was talking about this on Debo's pod earlier in the week, where he even said, you know, I think most of the talking heads have finally at least come around to the idea that, like, okay, the quarterback's good. You know what I mean? Like, where you want to go from there, okay, go from there. But, like, let's move past the stupid stuff. System guy, product of Kyle, has good teammates, actually not that good. All that stuff, I think largely you're now in the area of the lunatic fringe, if that's what you're still saying about Brock. But I want to now, okay, let's roll the golf ball forward from there. You all agree the Niners have a good quarterback. I hear now this hesitation, or at least people starting to want to dive into a specific word. And the word is elite.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And there is discomfort, at least on some level, with people using that word. I want to define it real quick.
Okay.
For me, there is also a period of time, because how often have we heard about Brock, I need to see more?
Yeah.
I'm past that. Like, we're in year three, and you're watching similar output, similar numbers, consistency, sustainability. There is a period of time here that needs to be proven before I'm going to use the word elite. So, for instance, here's a teaser. For me, CJ Stroud doesn't get the word yet. Very good quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm excited. He's a proven commodity. I can't say elite yet. He's barely played over one season of football because he missed a couple games last year, too. Another one, Jordan Love. I can't do that yet. So I've got my list of how many quarterbacks in the NFL right now can we truly, confidently use the word elite. Okay.
And by elite, you're saying quarterbacks right now. For example,
right now,
Aaron Rodgers would be a guy who is elite. He's had an elite career.
He was.
But right now, he's not elite.
Russell Wilson used to be.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford probably was for a time elite, and he's not right now either. So you're just talking about guys as they're playing right now.
2024, week 7, in the National Football League, elite quarterbacks.
You probably are going to have a list that is...
How many players you think are on the list?
I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4? I'm going to say you have 4 names on your list. That's it.
4?
You got 4.
4?
You have 4.
You're guessing I have 4.
I'm guessing you have 4 on your list of elite quarterbacks.
I'll take the over.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking at, and I'm going in order of yards passing total, and I'm seeing the top 4 in football in yards passing, none of them are elite. Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, I don't think that he's on the list because he doesn't have the sample yet, and I could be wrong. I thought you just said that, you know, sample size is such that you wouldn't put him on there. Maybe you have. Dak and Kirk Cousins, I don't think either one of them is on there.
So... all definitions, unless they're in the dictionary, are a little bit loose.
This is your definition.
But I'm basically talking about who I think are clear, sustainable, consistent, excellent franchise quarterbacks who have also already shown some ability to maneuver through the playoffs. Okay.
Oh, then you probably have more than 4 then. And Brock would be on there.
I have 5.
Okay.
I think there are 5 elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. 5 elite quarterbacks in the National
Football
League. Can I guess? Sure. And I got $100 says you're going to get it right.
Okay.
You'll get the 5 right.
Patrick's got to be on there. Patrick Mahomes has got to be on there.
I'll let you do. We're not going to ding and buzz. Do all 5.
Even though he's having
you got to get all
down
5
year. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson would be number 2. Josh Allen would be number 3. You're going to put Brock Purdy on there because you're a Brockistan would be 4. And the 5th one is a little tough, but I'm going to say, I don't think you love this guy, but I'm going to put him on there anyway. It's a coin toss between these last two. I'm going to say Joe Burrow. That's my five. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Ding or buzz? Buzz or ding?
You, my friend, are having a show today.
Okay.
You're having a show today.
I wasn't sure about Jalen Hurts.
No, Jalen Hurts, no.
Because he's shown an ability to navigate the playoffs.
Right, but that's only one of the factors of the definition. I do not find sustainability from Jalen Hurts. He did it one time, and he has kind of started to crap out since then.
Ooh.
So you can have guys who have had, like, a moment or a year, right? Like, Nick Foles was never elite, but he moved through the playoffs one time. So you know I'm not a believer in the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm just not. To use that word, that does not mean that I think all of the other quarterbacks are not good. There are a lot of other good quarterbacks, and Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. There are those who I believe will become elite, Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud. Brock Purdy is not C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love. This is season three. You have already gone through the playoffs twice. Both times that you got there, you won two games. You've only lost twice, and one of them you had no arm, and in my opinion, doesn't count. The other one was in overtime to one of the all-time greats. So, yes, absolutely 100% in year three to be performing the way you are again and in largely doing it without some of the weapons that many have said were the key to his success. Yes, Brock Purdy has arrived at Eliteville, along with Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. There's your list.
Yeah.
And I really wonder why there remains. I'd love to hear from people. If you won't use that word yet for Brock, why? What is the hesitation to start using words like star or elite or what have you?
It is either sample size or draftism or system quarterback or those other things that even those arguments are starting to wear a little bit thin.
We're so aware of those things now.
And he's now 20-7 in the regular year as a starter, 4-2 in the playoffs. He's 24-9 in his first 33 games, including six playoff games. That is second to almost nobody. And on the other side, I will pull up the Prospector, which the Niners send out every week before the game, and they have a list of all the Brock stats, everything that Brock has done in his career compared to other quarterbacks and also other Niner quarterbacks, and he is number one or number two in like eight different categories, including, you know, yards and touchdown ratio through this many starts and that many starts and all the rest of it.
Yep.
It's remarkable when you look at the list of all the Brock stats and most passing yards in a season for the Niners. He's number one, and all of the other things about highest single game percentage in history, he's got that. Highest completion percentage in a season, he's number three behind Steve Young and Joe Montana. So all the things where he's not the leader, he's like, right behind those two guys.
We talk about this a lot because I love it from a psychological warfare standpoint. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us in a few. He's a really, really good analyst, former Chief, Bay Area guy, former Oregon Duck. We'll get this conversation in with him, but I'd love to have it with you too. And I know what some of you are thinking if you disagree with it. Here comes Willard the Homer again. 858, such Homer talk. 415, good Lord, Willard, you've gone and lost your damn mind. Brock is not elite. Wonderful, wonderful takes. Call the show and tell me why. This is what I live for this. You can't give me a reason. Your reason, you call. I'd love to have this conversation with you. You're not going to have a good reason other than, well, I just don't think it. Okay, fine. Give me the backing. Give me the statistical backing. Give me the thing that you think he doesn't do well. Give us the playoff problem. Get what is your backing? Steve Spagnuolo thinks you've lost your mind. He thinks you've lost your mind. And he's one of the best defensive coordinators in football. So let's talk it out. I'm not scared of it.
888-957-9570.
What is your take? What is your backing? for the fact that you don't want to use that word.
Highest passer rating through his first 25 starts since 1970.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Before
Mahomes is two.
Before the majority of our audience was born.
Kurt Warner is three. Right. Dan Marino is four.
Let's ride.